We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we're going to talk about the Mississippi River now. Joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline from Friends of the Mississippi River, they're based in St. Paul, is Whitney Clark, a guy that I've had a chance to get to know over the years. And Whitney, before we get into, you know, the condition of the river, especially here in the upper Midwest, tell our listeners exactly what you try to do over there at Friends of the Mississippi in terms of being really a guardian of the river.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Eric. Well, Friends of the Mississippi River was founded to be an organization made up of citizens, people, neighbors who care about the river and want to make sure that it's as healthy as it can be, that it's as accessible as it can be, and that we celebrate it and we think about it as we make decisions that impact it, whether that is a decision that people make in their yard or their garden or their home, or whether it's a decision that's made at the Capitol in St. Paul or in Washington, D.C.
Whitney, recently, American Rivers said the Upper Mississippi River is among the most endangered rivers in the U.S. What exactly did they mean by this?
Well, American Rivers is their top 10 most endangered rivers every year. This is, I think, the fourth or fifth time the Mississippi River has made the list. And there's a lot of issues and challenges that the Mississippi River faces, and frankly, that, you know, all rivers face in North America. So some of these things are unique to the Mississippi, but some are not. Probably the most significant challenge that we have for the Mississippi River along its 10-state length, almost 2,400 miles, is water pollution. Pollution that comes from many sources, but the predominant source now is agricultural land use. So until we address that issue, the river really isn't going to be healthy. But there are a number of other threats that the river faces. Your listeners will no doubt be familiar with the challenge of aquatic invasive species. We have a number of them that are beginning to reach Minnesota, including the invasive carp, which people I'm sure have heard of. And, closer to home, you know, there are dangers to the river, frankly, from loving it too much, from people wanting to be too close to it and to develop too close to it. And if we allow that to happen, we can sort of, with a bunch of small decisions, really slowly but inexorably degrade the health of the river.
Yeah, and when you think about it, globally speaking, I mean, the Mississippi is right up there with the Nile or the Amazon in terms of, you know, garnering attention and the importance it has to the U.S. It starts up there at Lake Itasca in northern Minnesota, flows 2,350 miles all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And I know you guys over at Friends of the Mississippi came out with a State of the River report a few years ago. And I was looking at that, and there's some fascinating nuggets in there, Whitney. The Twin Cities as the river comes through here, there are it hits the confluence of three great rivers. You've got the Crow River, the Minnesota, and the St. Croix. And in 1988, it became a national park. So you think about national parks, and Yellowstone comes to mind, and Glacier, and the Grand Canyon. But we have one right here in the Twin Cities Metro, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. And, you know, I think I'd be interested to know how many of your listeners are aware that we have our own national park along the river in the Twin Cities. As you say, it was designated by Congress in 1988. It's called the Mississippi National River and Recreation Area, and it's a 72-mile stretch of the river from the mouth of the Crow River up in Dayton, up where Dayton and Ramsey are, all the way down to the Goodhue County border southeast of Hastings. So 72 river miles, and it's the only national park on the entire length of the river that is about the Mississippi River. There are some other parks, there are some national monuments, but this was designated because of the unique and special Mississippi River. And, you know, I think Congress was looking at our Twin Cities reach for an interesting reason. You know, the river is very, very unique here in the Twin Cities. It is really three distinct rivers. There are three reaches of the river that, you know, I'll ask your listeners to just think in their mind's eye of different parts of the Twin Cities. If you think of the land along the river above St. Anthony Falls, so the Brooklyn Park, Coon Rapids, Anoka County, Dayton and Ramsey, Champlin area, that area is what's known as the Prairie River. If you think of the river up there, it's smaller, it's narrower. The river is has been in its channel within those banks for thousands of years. It has very low banks, no bluffs. When it drops over St. Anthony Falls in downtown Minneapolis, it becomes the only gorge on the river. It's about an 8-mile gorge that extends from downtown Minneapolis all the way to the mouth of the confluence with the Minnesota River. That reach of the river is characterized by these tall bluffs, 75 or 80 foot bluffs on either side of the river, very little floodplain to speak of. And at one point in time before the locks and dams went in, that was a long set of rapids. And then, you know, the third reach is the one that I think most people around the world, when they think of the Mississippi River, that's the one they're thinking of. It's the big floodplain river. When you think it, yeah, in your mind's eye of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn on a raft in the Mississippi, that's what they're thinking of. And we also have that in our national park. It begins kind of in St. Paul there at the confluence with the Minnesota, and it really maintains that same big floodplain kind of morphology all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. So a pretty special reach of river here. We're lucky.
Whitney Clark, our guest, he's from Friends of the Mississippi River on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline here on CCO. Yeah, there really is a fascination for this lengthy ribbon of water that slices through the heartland of the U.S. And, you know, you hear that phrase so often, well, it's the largest this and this east of the Mississippi, or it's, you know, the biggest this and this west of the Mississippi. It's a line of demarcation. And you brought up the Crow River hitting the Mississippi in Dayton, and that's the Wright County, Hennepin County border. And I've been up there many times, and I'm fascinated by the mansion that sits there at the confluence of the Crow and the Mississippi. I don't think I've seen a mansion that big anywhere.
Yeah, right there on the Wright County side.
Yep.
It is quite a structure. And that's, you know, that is sitting right outside the boundary of the national park.
So okay, right there in Wright County in Otsego. What should our listeners do to be good river protectors? Because I believe most of the people out there who, you know, tune into WCCO want to do their part. They don't want to add to the pollution, because anything that gets into the river here, It gets dragged all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico and Louisiana. So we need to do our part, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, the river, you know, the river is not an isolated system either. It's connected to everything else on the planet. And so when we're talking about the health of the river, we're really also talking about the health of our environment more broadly. Issues like climate change, you know, are having a global impact, obviously, and your listeners will be very familiar with that concept. But there are big impacts on the Mississippi, too. Increased flow rates, which increase delivery of pollution to the river. Flooding, which has a major impact on communities and people who live along the river. Warming trends that are changing the habitat, changing the species that can live along the river or in the river. So, you know, oftentimes the work that we do to protect the river is work that will have benefits for the entire ecosystem. But, you know, some things that people can do, and, you know, there are things that individuals can do in terms of their personal choices, being really smart with how they use salt, for instance. People put down salt in the winter to keep the ice buildup from their driveways and their sidewalks. And I understand why they do that, but we need to be careful when we do that and use as little of that as possible. And that's because we have major chloride buildup in our waters, and this is a permanent pollutant that once it's in the water, it really doesn't flush through the system like other pollutants. You know, things like, you know, I'm heading up north to do some fishing next week. And I was just at the tackle store buying some split shot for fishing, and I made sure I bought the non-toxic, non-lead shot because people oftentimes unthinkingly use this lead shot. They lose the shot, and it gets picked up in the environment by, you know, fish or wading birds, and then eagles will eat them, and then we have a major lead problem among our raptors along the river. So there's kind of individual decisions that people can make in their life about protecting the river, and then there's the more broader political decisions that we make by getting engaged in the political process and urging our legislators, our city council members, our members of Congress to do the right thing when they have an opportunity to vote on environmental legislation. We want to make sure that they're hearing from us, that it's important that we protect not just the river, but our whole environment.
Whitney, a quick final thought. We all know that COVID-19 has been catastrophic in so many ways from the human perspective. But it has been good for the earth, hasn't it? I mean, it's almost like things have slowed down, and I feel like in some ways it's been good for the earth. Is that right?
Well, you know, I think there have been some temporary byproducts, you know, less air pollution, less activity that causes pollution. So you hear, for instance, about you know, the people in India being able to see the Himalayas again because there's the air is cleaner, and you hear about people, you know, they're starting to see animals that are, because when people have been inside so much, they're starting to see animals. But I think in general, this is going to be a bad thing. Obviously, we know that it's a bad thing for public health, but it's going to have a big impact, a big fiscal impact, for instance, on our different levels of government and their ability to spend money to protect the environment. You know, here in Minnesota, we've got a pandemic-related massive deficit which means that there's going to be less money available to protect land and protect water quality and monitor the health of species. Organizations like mine, nonprofit organizations that depend on donations from individuals and foundations, well, people and foundations are going to have less money. And so I think this is going to have a downside. So I wish I had a happier answer for you, but Eric, I think this is mostly bad news for the environment, even if there might be some short-term benefits.
Yeah, I hate to hear that, but I think maybe the message is then if we can all take on more individual responsibility, something as simple as putting your garbage in the garbage can, throwing your cigarette butt in an ashtray, or you know, watching what you put on your grass for fertilizer, those little steps can go a long way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I hope people think about that and do that. Most people do.
All right, Whitney, great to catch up with you. You guys do tremendous work as a protector of the mighty Mississippi, and we'll touch bases again down the road.
Great. Thanks for having me, Eric. Take care of yourself.
All right, very good. He's Whitney Clark from Friends of the Mississippi River, and he came to you on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.